It is September the 11th, 2012. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web, since 1997 for all your pro wrestling news. And today it's a very special guest I'm welcoming to the website, someone we've been following for a long time, a guy who I really consider a legend in this business. Great promo work, great ring psychology, one of the all-time greats, and will be a future WWE Hall of Famer, Jake the Snake Roberts. How are you doing tonight, Jake?
Oh, pretty good.
Well, we do appreciate your time. I know you've been very busy, and you not only been busy kind of with the wrestling business, but also busy with some yoga.
Yeah, man. I just started doing it about 5 weeks ago. Diamond Dallas Page got me into it. He's got a program out that he's doing. He's very successful at it. And there's some wonderful stories, man, success stories that he's turned people around, you know. And I certainly had a long ways to turn around. I dropped about 80 pounds, and I'm about 25 into it. In 5 weeks, I've lost 25 pounds. So I can, you know, I can honestly say it's been a real pleasure. I mean, I found a body part I didn't know I had anymore. It used to be down there somewhere between my chin and my feet, but it's right about the middle, and I hadn't seen it in a while because my belly had gotten so big. But I've seen it now, and damn, I don't remember it being that small, but there it is.
Well, I always like to ask somebody who's been in the business for a long time, of course, how you doing physically, health-wise. Obviously, it's great to hear that you're losing some weight after all the years in the ring. How's the body holding up?
Well, you know, I've had to have a hip replacement, and of course, I had two discs removed out of my neck and wrist reconstruction, part of my left foot removed, a couple broken sternums, a compound fracture of the right arm, wrist reconstruction. Other than that, I'm just fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I swallowed an ovary, too. I forgot about that.
Wow.
Wasn't mine.
But still hanging in there after all these years.
Yeah, still hanging in there, man.
What are you doing currently in terms of, like, wrestling? Are you doing a lot of shows, conventions?
I don't wrestle anymore. I'm completely retired. Although, if I keep losing weight and getting in better shape, I may go back out there and try for just to say I could and did. I do signings, looking really forward into getting hit into this yoga thing, man, where I'm really concentrating a lot of my life on that. But I'll still always do these signings and stuff because I enjoy seeing the fans, enjoy talking with them and visiting with them. And, you know, I'm on Facebook, of course, and if anybody does need to really contact me, they can contact me at farmgirl@atlantic.net. But, that's strictly for signings and things like that. I've been doing a few movies, so.
Awesome. And we'll definitely mention that when we post this interview, your contact for anybody, any promoters out there like to get a hold of.
Sure, absolutely.
We'll definitely put that out there. And I guess when you're doing the signings and you're doing the personal appearances, what's the most common question you get from fans today?
Where's your snake? Oh, my God. And I tell them, well, I'll show you mine if you'll show me yours. How's that? That is probably the most asked question. And, my God, I do get tired of answering it. But, you know, I always hated damn snakes. You know, that was just a character thing I come up with. You know, that's what happens with youth ignorance and alcohol and some stuff they call pot. I wonder why they call it dope, because you come up with some stupid friggin' ideas.
So it was your idea to use the snake in your gimmick?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, I was Jake the Snake before I ever started carrying a snake, you know. But, you know, everybody can read about that in my book. I'm working on a book right now. I've got about 600 pages into it, so it's going to be a big book. Probably about 200 pages left. But it's going to be very, very, very informative, you know, about the inside. And it's strictly about me. It's not about anybody else.
Well, I would definitely look forward to reading that. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time, so I'll definitely check that out. Yeah, for sure.
Good. I'll send you 100 copies.
Well, I would appreciate that for sure. Maybe we can have you back on again.
And 50 bucks each. me a check.
$100, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And in the introduction, I mentioned you as a future Hall of Famer. What's going on in terms of the Hall of Fame? Have they ever contacted you?
I have no idea, man. No, they haven't contacted me. I mean, it would certainly be an honor, one that I would treasure all my life. And it'd be a great legacy to leave behind for my children and my grandchildren. You know, I mean, I made a lot of mistakes when I was on the road. And, of course, in the WWF, WWE, I made some really foolish mistakes. Still telling where I could have went with what I had, you know. But sometimes there are circumstances that derail you. And sometimes you create them yourself, and I certainly create a lot of problems for myself. But I'm a survivor, man, so that means something. And I certainly hope someday that I can be forgiven for whatever I've done by those. If I've offended somebody, I'd certainly like to say that WWF has reached out and helped me several times in my life, you know. Not only by giving me opportunity when I was there, but helping me with my drug and alcohol dependency, you know, and it's been tough. You know, nobody chooses to become an addict or an alcoholic, okay? You know, you start out, you do it one time, and you think, hey, gee, that was a lot of fun, and it probably was. You try cocaine for the first time, see, that was a lot of fun, and it usually is. But at some point, that monster gets a hold of you, and then it's no longer a choice that you do the drug. It's a necessity just for you to carry on your everyday life. And that's what really sucks, and it's not something I enjoy.
You were talking about some of the mistakes you made, of course, when you were in WWF. Do you feel like those mistakes is the primary reason you're not currently in the WWF Hall of Fame?
I don't know. Sure, I said some things I shouldn't have said, and again, if I offended somebody, I'd just like to reach out to them and let them know that I do regret my foolishness and my ignorance. If I could roll it all backwards, I'd certainly love to, but you just can't do that.
Have you heard about Jerry the King Lawler this morning?
Yeah, I heard he's pretty sick, huh?
Yeah, I just wondered, obviously, you've worked with him in the past, just maybe a thought or two on the King.
Well, I certainly hope he recovers, and I certainly feel for his family, most of all, you know. I don't know what the extent of his problems are. I'm sure it's not good. You know, it's never good. It's just tough, man, when you're dealing with people in your family, somebody you love is has problems, you don't have any damn control over it at all. I have identical twin boys. They're 27, I think. And one of them, him and his wife weren't supposed to be able to have children. So a few years ago, they adopted a little American Indian girl, and man, you talk about rough. She had 5 major surgeries before she ever got out of the hospital. And, in fact, she bled out on Christmas Day. You know what I mean? It was tough, man. And she recovered, and she held in there, and she fought, and she's now a handful to hold on to. Boy, she's something else. And they were getting ready to adopt again, and just as they were meeting with the adoption agency and everything, his wife decided she needed to go to the doctor. She wasn't feeling well, and lo and behold, she was pregnant.
Wow.
Well, she was pregnant with twins.
Oh.
And unfortunately, one of the babies, the umbilical cord was wrapped around its neck, and they had to take him out very early. They weighed 1.8 pounds and 1.11. And it's really been a tough fight. You know, and they're about 7 pounds now, so that tells you, I mean, when you take it from 1.8 and 1.11 for 7 pounds, man, you've done some damn good work. And, there's miracles out there for all of us, I guess. It's a miracle I'm still alive. It's a miracle they pull through, so maybe Jerry will get a miracle too.
We'll definitely pray for Jerry Lawler and pray for those twins as well. That's sad, but it's at the same time, I'm glad to hear them doing better and gaining some weight, definitely, for sure.
Yeah, they're doing pretty well then. My oldest daughter, she's the head of addictionology, and she's got her master's in psychology. Imagine that. I don't know where the hell she got that from, but anyway, she's got her master's in that, and she's head of the largest rehab in the world. It's for all the troops. She's in Leavenworth, Kansas. She's got 12 floors of troops out there, and she got put into that head position about 2 years ago, and it was about a year after she'd come down with MS. And that was a very, very frustrating time for me because I couldn't fix my little girl. I couldn't help her. I couldn't change anything for her. I couldn't go punch somebody in the nose, you know. And it was tough, man. And but today she's out running a race, man, for she's running a 12-hour race. Is that insane? Jesus Christ, I can't even drive that far, much less run that far. Are you kidding me?
But, that's great that she can do that now.
Yeah, she's fighting, man. She's a fighter. She don't give up for shit.
That's awesome. I was wondering what's your reaction. How did you find out about the passing of Randy Savage and maybe some memories of working with the Macho Man?
Oh, man, that was horrible. I mean, I've had so many of my friends go, man. Holy Savage, and Rick Rude, and Andre, and the list goes on and on. Boss Man, Hawk, Road Warrior. That was a tough one to take. Man, lots of them. You know, Bad News Brown, man, that was tough to take. Earthquake, gosh, that was brutal. And now, you know, Kamala's lost his legs. Mm-hmm. That's a horrible thing. And, you know, Randy was wound pretty tight, you know. He was wound pretty tight. I mean, it was tough sometimes in there with him, man, because he was a little bit schizo, man. He thought the whole world was out to get him. And you had to protect yourself in there sometimes, you know. And I guess my favorite memory of him is when the snake got a hold of him, chewed on him, man. That was funny.
Not for him anyways, right?
Well, I didn't care about him. I was enjoying the hell out of it.
You know, looking back at your career, obviously you had a lot of great runs in WWE. Yeah. And at the same time, you know, I was really surprised kind of looking back at your career. They never gave you the run with the WWE Championship, but really never gave you a run with any of their titles. Is that kind of surprising, kind of looking back at your career?
They tried to give me a run with Hogan. They tried to give me one with Warrior. Well, they fired Warrior, you know, at the time. And with Hogan, it just didn't work, man. We did a thing on the snake pit and tried to get that thing kicked off. And unfortunately, the fans betrayed me. They started chanting DDT instead of Hulk, Hulk, Hulk. So that caused a problem. They didn't want that.
Now, we've heard a lot of people that were promised the WWE Championship. Were you ever promised a title reign?
No.
No.
Didn't need it, man. That'd just been something else I had to carry around. You know, Christ, I'm carrying a 100-pound snake. What the hell, I want to carry a damn belt around and be responsible for that shit, too? Are you kidding me? No, thanks. Here, I'll trade you for the snake, though.
Who came up with the DDT?
I did, years ago. And it was by accident. I had a guy called the Grappler, the front face lock, and he went to push me back in the corner, but as he went to push me, he stepped on my foot, and we both fell backwards. A star is born. You know, and had a crowd reaction from it to let us know that we had something there, and I just developed it. You know, and it'd be nice if somebody would do it right, but not many can. And I'm still thankful they all use it, because every time they do, and they don't beat the guy with it. If Adam watches, he sits out there and goes, damn, that Jake Roberts is damn good. He'd beat you there, and you did not get up. You know, so that's a mistake.
What was it like wrestling at WrestleMania 3 in front of 93,000 people?
Oh, what I can remember of it was hair-raising. You know, it was electric. Man, it was friggin' electric. Your body just tingled all over just from the buzz of the people. Of course, being there with Alice Cooper didn't hurt me at all either, because I was a big Alice Cooper fan growing up. And to see him in my corner, you know, Christ, somebody told me that Alice Cooper would wind up being in my corner someday for a big wrestling show, I would just laughed at him. Of course, if somebody told me I'd been in a ring with Muhammad Ali back in the days of Mid-South when in the Superdome, Ali punched me 6 times and never went down, which is pretty insane. Lucky he didn't get pissed off and just knock my ass out, I guess, but there you go, it's just business. Somebody told me I was going to wrestle Andre the Giant. I'd have laughed at him, too. So, you know, I thought I'd come closer to becoming, going on a moonshot, you know, becoming an astronaut and doing those things.
Why did you turn heel in 1991?
Why not? I hate being babyface. Boring. Being a babyface is boring. You know, you got to go out there, you're expected to do certain things, but as a heel, you can turn it to any level you want. You know, you can do anything you want because you're a heel. But being a baby face, you know, kissing babies, shaking hands, and smiling, just that's just not me. How many snakes do you know that smile? Yeah, really, just a one-eyed snake.
What led to your departure from WCW in 1992?
Bill Watts, plain and simple. Cowboy Bill Watts. He tried to screw me, and I said, that's that. I'm out of here.